Our tonight is going to be learning about our covenant. And one thing about, I think, Western society or Christianity today, I think we're oblivious to covenant, to a said, to vows, and all we know is love. And according to today's word, love doesn't cover any of those. You know, it's a feeling, it's a sensation, it's affection, and that's basically what it is. And so we've got to get back to what the word says about what covenant is, what a set is, what a hob is, and what also the vow, which is nadir. So a covenant is a pledge with obligation, a constitution between Yahweh and man, a promise of blessing for keeping it, and curses for breaking it. As that's what the word covenant means, where we have getting into a covenant. So covenant is a word barith, and it's a noun feminine. A hesed is what people will translate mercy and long-suffering and kindness and gentleness and every other thing, but it's an obligatory relationship.
Obligatory.
And it's a noun. It's also masculine. A hob is a verb, and it's feminine. And nadar, which is the word, you translate vow, which is also a verb. It used to be that marriages were sacred covenants. And this one place we've made a terrible mistake, and when we have marriage vows, till death do us part, the word never says that. It says just the opposite. And by making a vow like that, you're very likely that you could be breaking that vow, which means your words don't mean anything at all. And that's what we're going to learn about vows also. But we'll begin about the covenant in Deuteronomy 16, page 225. Today, I believe that most of Christianity, or a great percentage of what I perceive as what they call Christianity, is really a sidestep of the hippie free love era. And if you look at the word unconditional love, that's where it stems from. It stems from the world and not from the word. As we know, the word unconditional is not in this book ever. And so anybody, by inserting that unconditional love, you're creating a new age Jesus or a new age God. And when we always say unconditional love, we must ask the person, what are you planning to do that would take away that love that's unconditional? If I'm walking in righteousness, I'm always going to be loved, right? It's only when I'm going to sin on purpose that I want that unconditional love, right? Because now I don't want it conditional. Well, what sin are you planning on doing? Well, none. Well, why are you interested in unconditional love then? And that is a facade, you know, what it comes down to. But we go to Deuteronomy 26. It has nothing to do with this book. 26.
Makes me think of an employee for a job interview going, I want to be guaranteed you can't fire me.
Yeah.
Why do you want, okay, what is going on?
I guess unconditional employment.
Yeah.
Unconditional.
You can't fire me ever. That's why I want to get hired.
Yeah. So, now look at 26 verse 16. And the heading above it is coveting of vows. And this is great. This is what it's all about, is the covenant. We know it was called the Ark of the Covenant. And so the Ark wasn't special. It was the covenant was special. And what was the covenant?
Ten Commandments.
The Ten Words. Yeah, the Ten Words. And it's in the Ark. This day, verse 16 to 18, this day is Yahweh thy Elohim commanding thee to do these statutes and the regulations. Thou shalt therefore observe and do them with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast vowed today, and this is very good. This is what every person as supposed to be a Christian is supposed to do. Thou hast vowed today that Yahweh shall be thy Elohim, that thou wilt walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his regulations and will hearken unto his voice. today, we hear many teachings. I just heard one the other day about grace. It's all grace. And so what that is salvation, is your man drowning in the water, and somebody comes by and gives you a rope. And you pull it in. That's grace. Well, wait a minute there. Was there anything required on your part except for grabbing the rope? No. Did you ever say you're going to make Yahushua your Lord? No. So these have nothing to do. Those are demonic illustrations. Because it has nothing to do with that. Are you agreeing that you will Ahab Yahweh, the first commandment? Are you agreeing that you will Ahab Yahweh, that Elohim, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and mind? And so when the person is drowning out there, you could say, are you willing to love Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength? And he says, no. Okay, you don't get the rope. And what will happen to you? What's going to happen to him?
He's going to jump.
Yeah, and where they end, we're going to end up at the end.
Perished.
Which is where?
Lake of fire.
The lake of fire. It'll be lake of fire with the adversary. That's their choice. We have the same choice in 18. And Yahweh hath a vow today. We have vowed that you're our God, and I'm going to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm going to make mistakes and sin. That's going to happen to all of us, and we ask for our forgiveness. And Yahweh hath a vow today that thou shalt be his people as a treasure. See the covenant? Our covenant is we will love you, and he says, I will make you my treasure, my people. As he spake unto thee, that thou shalt observe all his commandments, and hath a vow that he will set thee on high above all the nations which he has made, for praise and for renown and for glory, and thou shalt be a holy people unto Yahweh, thy Elohim, as he hath spoken. Now people will say, well, this is the Old Testament. You know, things are different right now. Well, let's just check on the end of the book. Let's go to Revelations 21. Let's see how the book ends. Because in our New Testament, we have free love. And that's really what it is. Unconditional love is free love.
Free love, man.
Yeah, that's free love, baby. Here's the end of the book. Right? Verse 21, verse 8, page 266. And as for the timid and disbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all the false, their part is in the what?
Lake that burneth with fire
and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, well, wait a minute. This is how the book ends. Very interesting. And where are you right now? Where's your part? Now, let's just talk about Hebrews, because we're talking about Yahweh's the God of the Hebrew. Well, the Hebrews don't matter anymore, okay? Let's look at this. Verse 12. This is the New Jerusalem. And having a wall great and high, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 messengers, and names inscribed, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Well, here we are back again. We're with Hebrews. Here's the 12 tribes of Israel are the gates. And let's go down at verse 14. And the wall of the city, having 12 foundations, upon them were 12 names of the 12 apostles, Hebrews. All those apostles were Hebrews of the Lamb. So the New Jerusalem is 12 tribes, and the foundation is the 12 apostles. We end in the book with Hebrews. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy 27. What we have today is we've lost the concept of what it is to be covenant relationship, to watch our vows, to know what it said is. It really comes down to, if you ask a Christian what it said is, they have no idea, because we haven't been taught that. They really don't know what a covenant is. 27 verse 1 of Deuteronomy. Over here. And we're going to read 1 through 3. And so we made a covenant in 26. We vowed to obey Yahweh, to love Yahweh, and Yahweh vowed to set us on high of Israel. And so we're going to make now a witness of that. And usually you do something in writing. So when you have a marriage agreement, you put it in writing, what you have vowed to, and it should be posted in our house. Here's what I vowed to. Here's what I promised to do. And here it is. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, observe all the commandments which I am commanding you today. So then it shall be in the day when you shall pass over the Jordan into the land which Yahweh thy Elohim is giving unto thee, that thou shalt rear thee up great stones and plaster them with the plaster, and shall write upon them all the words of this law which thou shalt pass over, to the end that thou mayest enter unto the land which Yahweh thy Elohim is giving unto thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Yahweh thy Elohim thy father has spoken unto thee. So here's the symbol of our covenant that we made. Now we go to verse 9. And when do you want to read? I'll do 9 and 10. And Moses and the priest, the Levite, spake unto Israel, saying, keep silent and hear, O Israel. This day hast thou been made a people unto Yahweh thy Elohim. There's the covenant. Thou shalt therefore hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, and do his commandments and his statutes, and I am commanding these today. That's the agreement. Now we go to 15. And here's our agreement. Remember when we said a covenant is a promise of blessing for keeping it and curses for breaking it. Very simple. And a marriage is supposed to be a covenant. And that's about the only thing I think we even know. Even our law, our agreements can be taken into the court and be gotten out of. And so even marriages, people can have prenuptial agreements, and they're no good in court. You know, I mean, it's a really sad, sad state, because our society knows nothing of, I think, the dignity of what they say they actually do. Or if they do say something, it's so flippant that it means nothing. I love you. I love you. Can you help me move? Oh, no, I can't do that, but I love you. Well, what does that mean? I mean, if there's no action behind the love, what does that mean? That means absolutely nothing. And that's what many times you've got to be very careful. You say you love somebody, that means you're going to do things for them. And if you're not willing to do things for them, then don't say I love you. And don't be a hypocrite, which we will find out. Now we go to, 15. Cursed be the man that maketh an image, cut or molten, an abomination unto Yahweh, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it into a secret place. And all the people shall respond and say, amen, so be it. And we go to 28, verse 1 and 3. And we're going to see that's the breaking of the covenant. If you make images, you're going to be cursed. And we know that too. Now think of that. We live in a spiritual world. And we wrestle against spiritual wickedness. Now, when we disobey Yahweh, and we don't have the shield of faith, then are we going to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one?
No.
No, because it says the shield of faith shall extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So when you walk outside of that, you get into homosexuality, a Christian, you get into adultery as a Christian, you're going to get diseases, you're going to get everything else that comes along with these curses. I mean, and that's the curse, why Yahweh says don't do that. Now 28, 1 through 3, and it shall be if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim to observe to do all the commandments which I am commanding today, then will Yahweh thy Elohim set thee on high. Isn't this great? What a great image. Set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come in upon thee and reach thee, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. In that, and it goes on and on and on. Bless, 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 bless. Here's our covenant. Cursing or blessing. All we got to do is obey. Don't make the covenant if you don't want Yahweh to be your Elohim. If you want to be your Elohim, do what he says. Now we go into the word hesed and ahab, which is, well, before we go there, let's just go to Psalms 8. And we'll see the beauty of Yahweh is done with mankind.
Esther can recite it.
Pardon me?
Esther can recite it.
Yeah, that's right. And we might just do that.
You want to go in front of the camera?
Yeah.
Esther, you want to play the camera?
Yeah. And we'll do it together.
Well,
that's all right.
You stay beside Granddad.
Come over here. O Yahweh, my Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth,
who set thy splendors upon the heavens. When I view thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, moon and stars thou hast established. What was, be granted, thou didst make mention of him, or the son of all certain, that thou didst make him little less of Elohim. Glory and honor to this crown him, O Yahweh, my Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth.
Now think of that. Very good, Psalms 8. Good. And we're going to look at Psalms 8, and we're going to read this. And it really shows, this is the creator of the universe. We have billions of galaxies and everything else to be able to say, you don't want this ride. You don't want to come along this. You don't want to be set on high by this, by the creator of everything. And we got a great position. O Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy splendor upon the heavens. We're going to skip two. Go to three. When I view thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, moon and stars which thou hast established. Now here we're going to talk about Adam, which is mankind. What was weak man that thou shouldst make mention of him? You know, what are we different than a giraffe or a cow?
Even make mention of him.
Or the son of the earthborn, that thou shouldest set him in charge. Wow. That thou shouldest make him a little less than Elohim. With glory and honor shouldest crown him. Crowning us with glory and honor. Shouldest give him dominion over the works of thy hands. All things should have been put under his feet. Sheep and oxen, all of them. Yea, even the beasts of the field, the bird of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, the passers-by on the pass of the sea. O Yahweh, our Lord, Adon, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Now, just think of that. Do we deserve any of this? Nothing. You know, when you look at the expanse around us, but we can all partake of that by taking that covenant. Go to Deuteronomy 7, chapter 6, page 206. Now there's three great terms. Most people know love, but we have to get to people to say, when you say love, what define that for me? Now just ask a person, define what you mean when you say the word love. So we're on the same page. Because you say, well, Yahweh loves everybody. It's like, I mean, can you love without giving? Can there be love without giving? And, well, just ask them. If they say, well, no, okay, then we can replace love with the word giving. So no matter what you do, Yahweh is going to give to you whatever you need or want. Well, no. Because if you're an adulterer, you're a murderer, he's not going to give anything to you. Right? I mean, why would I do that? That would encourage you. Actually, we want you dead and put into prison.
It actually says that in 1 John, that if you have something, if somebody else needs it, you don't give it to them, how does the love of God abide in you? So
yeah.
That's giving him.
Yeah, and so we're looking at that. So you can't separate. Now, if you want to give a big hug and you have affection for somebody who, the Carr brothers who are in prison right now, and you say, well, he loves them just as much as he loves Tim. You mean he's going to give to them what he would give to Tim, who serves him and they hate him? Let's start re-examining our vocabulary of what we're actually saying. That's hideous. 7, verse 6 to 11. Now this is great, because we're going to see all three words in a sentence, in three different places. We're going to see Ahab, where we're going to see, Barith, which is covenant, Hesed, Ahab, all on the same sentence. But here is about. Verse 6, and for holy people art thou unto Yahweh thy Elohim. Of thee hath Yahweh thy Elohim made choice, that thou shouldst become his people as a treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the ground. That's true with us today, as the body of the Christ. Not because you were more in number than any of the peoples did Yahweh become attached to you and make choice of you, for you are fewer than any of these people, but because Yahweh Ahab you, And because he would keep the oath which he sware unto his fathers, did Yahweh bring you forth with a firm hand and redeem thee out of the house of servants, out of the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So here's the verse. So then thou must know that Yahweh thy Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful El, keeping his Berith covenant and his Hesed with them that Ahab him. So there's all three. Berith, Hesed, and Ahab. And Ahab is love. And keep his with them with them that do what? Ahab him. Is this a condition?
Yes.
Is that a condition? Yes, that is a condition. And when it says love is unconditional, it is just raw. Even in the book of John, you look at the word if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, it's all conditional. And keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. But watch what happened. If you don't love him, but requiting them who hate him unto his face, to destroy them, he will not be slack towards them that hate him. There are people who hate Yahweh. Unto his face will he requite them. So shalt thou keep the commandments and the statutes and the regulations which I am commanding thee today to do them. So when a person is asked to become a Christian, we're going to see, if you're going to make Yahushua your Lord, that means your master, then you're agreeing to do the first two commandments, love Yahweh with all thy heart, mind, and soul. How do you do that? By doing his word. And love your neighbor as yourself. How do you do that? By doing his word. Now we go into, Nehemiah 1. So here was the foundation, and that is page 479.
Page 479.
As we know, Nehemiah, we're going to Nehemiah and Daniel, the other two occasions where all three words are used together. We know that Israel and Judah break the covenant?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they did. They broke the covenant. And this is Nehemiah 1:1. And the story of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Sheslet, in the 20th year, when I was in Shushan, the fortress, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men out of Judah. So I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant who are left of the captivity there in the province are in great misfortune and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and I mourned certain days, and continued fasting and praying before the Elohim of the heavens, and said, so here's Nehemiah's prayer. I beseech thee, O Yahweh, Elohim of the heavens, the great and fearful El. And this is exactly what Moses said. Keeping the covenant and is said for them who love him and keep his commandments. Let, I pray thee, thy ears be attentive and thy eyes open to hearken unto the prayer of thy servant. So he's going to go into a prayer about it. But there is the same. There is the Berith, Hesed, and Ahab. Keeping the commandments, and he's repenting for the nation to go rebuild Jerusalem. And you're saying, we have sinned. Well, let's read 6. Let I pray thee thy ears be... Oh, when do you read verse 6?
Let I pray thee thine ears be attentive and thine eyes open to hearken unto the prayer of thy servant, which I am praying before thee now, day and night, for the sons of Israel, thy servants, and making confession concerning the sins of the sons of Israel. For we have committed against thee, which we have committed against thee, both I and the house of my fathers have sinned.
There we go, have sinned. Now we go to Daniel, page 855, Daniel 9.
What page?
855.
855. Daniel's in the same situation with Nehemiah. So Nehemiah is in Shushan, the Persian Empire, and Daniel is in Babylon, which is now also the Persian Empire. Another little tidbit, the people will say Nehemiah is after Ezra. Ezra built the temple. Nehemiah built the city. Well, if that was the case, that first report wouldn't have been like that, because the temple would have already been built.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, how's Jerusalem? It's terrible. Otherwise, they would have said, hey, the temple's being rebuilt. Yeah. No, and so that's why you see Nehemiah is before Ezra and not after Ezra. The 9, verse 1, we're going to read 1 through 6. In the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, which is Cambyses, remember, which is Esther's husband, which is Cyrus's father, of the seed of the Medes, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans in the first year of his reign. I, Daniel, perceived by the writings the number of the years as to which the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah the prophet to fulfill the desolation of Jerusalem 70 years. So I set my face unto Adon Elohim to seek him by prayer, and here's doing the same thing that Nehemiah is doing, in supplication, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Yea, I prayed. And these are really, they're in a mediatorial role. Nehemiah is praying for his people and confessing their sins. Daniel's doing the same thing. Yea, I prayed unto Yahweh my Elohim and made confession and said, I beseech thee, O Adon, the El, great and be revered, keeping the Berith, the covenant, and the Hesed, to them who love him, Ahab him, and to them who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity, been guilty of lawlessness, have been rebellious, even departing from thy commandments and from thy regulations, which is breaking the covenant. In a marriage, if one of the partners commits adultery, did they break the covenant?
Yes.
Yes, they did. And so if a person said till death do us part, is that a good thing to say?
No.
Because if they leave, then they broke their vow too. And that's why you should never vow that, and churches, why they do that, it's just ridiculous. And the marriage covenant should be specific. Yahweh had a specific, here's what you're going to do, and here's what you're going to get. In the same way with marriage, both parties should lay it all out. Here's what I'm promising to do. And so when it doesn't come, witnesses can say, they broke their vow. They broke the covenant.
You said you'd mow the lawn.
And that's verse 6. And having not hearkened unto thy servants, the products, who spake in thy name unto our king, our rulers, our fathers, and unto all the people of the land. One other tidbit, not part of the teaching, but the prophets were murdered, and by killing the prophets, you're killing Yahweh. And so, and this is religious, and you think about this, you know, when you kill a prophet, I'm killing a messenger. And so if I could kill Yahweh, I would do it. And so anytime this happens, it shows you the heart of mankind, of what kind of wickedness, with Johnny and Mercer and Luther and Tinsdale, and done by Christianity, Michael Servetus, it just goes on and on and on, of the wickedness of so-called religion, where the adversary is right inside there. But that is, we've got the word covenant, Hesed, and I think, you know, Christianity today doesn't know anything about covenant, and they don't know anything about Hesed. All they've got is love, and what they've got is usually a New Age love, and not a love that's based upon actions. So if a person says, I love my wife, how? Why just love her? I just love her to bits. But she wants you to go to church with her. Well, no, I don't go to church, but I just love my little wife to bits. Well, she would like me to get a job. No, I'm not going to get a job either, but I just love my little precious thing to bits. Would you say he loved her? No, it's all mouth play. It's all words. It has nothing to do with it. Now let's go into a vow, which is Nadar, page 191, numbers 30. And this is very important for the kids, and for adults too. Is
what page?
Page 191, numbers chapter 31.
Yeah.
and somebody's about ready to make a vow to Yahweh with children, they should, and the parents should say, no, you're not old enough to make a vow. And we're going to see it. 31 through, let's see here, 1 through 4. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes of the sons of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. When a man shall vow a vow unto Yahweh, or swear an oath to bind a bond upon his soul, he shall not do what?
Break his word.
Break his word. Right. Page 191, chapter 30, verse 2. Shall not break his word according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth shall he do. Wow. You know, look at all the lawsuits and agreement. I mean, everything else is just shattered. And actually, our courts facilitate that.
Yeah.
They actually facilitate breaking vows. And when a woman shall vow a vow unto Yahweh and bind a bond in the house of her father in her youth, children, and her father shall hear her vow or her bond which she bindeth upon her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then shall all her vows stand, and every bond which she hath bound upon her soul shall stand. And then it goes on, if he says no, you can't make that vow, he knows enough to say, you can't keep that vow. So I annul it. And so as a young person, that happens. Now we go to Deuteronomy 23. Okay. Next book over to the right, Numbers, Deuteronomy 23, verse 21. And so Christians could be just as at fault, you know, in marriage. And we got a paper on that. I think it should be very helpful. That marriage is a covenant, and you have to be specific on your vows. And so you can leave a marriage when a person breaks their vows, when they break the word of Yahweh, they're not going to use the word of Yahweh. And you are clean of it. The person who broke their vows cannot remarry. So that's their situation. And so we know that in 1 Corinthians 7, too, it says, if a woman departs from her husband, let her depart, but she cannot marry him. And so when she departed, can her husband remarry? Sure can. Can she marry? No, because she broke her vow. She broke the covenant. Now we're going at 23, verses 21 to 23, and vice versa. If the husband does the same thing, and the church should stand behind them and say, no. 21 to 23. When thou shalt, okay, how about Isaiah 21 through
23? 21 through 23. When thou shalt vow, Yahweh thy God shall not delay, make it good, for Yahweh thy God requireth for thee. It should be in thee sin, but if thou refrain from vowing, it shall not be thee sin.
Okay, very simple. You don't have to make a vow. It's not sin. Don't promise. And a vow is a promise. I promise I will do this. Don't do that. Okay? You can say, I'll try to do this. I will try to keep that. But don't make a vow, because he says, fine. But if you make a vow, your word is your bond. Now go ahead and go with 22. Oh, we have 23.
That which goeth forth out of thy lips, thou must observe and do according as thou didst vow to Yahweh thy God, the free will of him which thou didst speak with thy mouth.
Okay, there it is. Now we go to Ecclesiastes, which I usually don't go to, page 638.
Why don't you normally go to Ecclesiastes?
It's very depressing. I can't even read like Ecclesiastes.
They like the blues?
Yeah, it's... And, it's just me. I just can't do it. 2 through 6, but this is a good point.
I'm sorry, which chapter?
Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 2 through 6, page 638.
I've got it.
Okay, Elijah.
2 through 6?
Yeah, 2 through 6.
Okay. Be not rash with thy mouth and with thy heart. Be not in haste to bring forth a word before Yahweh, for Yahweh is in the heavens, and thou upon the earth. for this cause, and let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and the voice of a dullard is with the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto Yahweh, do not defer to pay
it. That'd be Elohim.
Or Elohim, excuse me. Do not defer to pay it, for there is no pleasure in dullards that thou vowest pay.
How would you like to be called a dullard? So if you don't pay, you should call it a dullard.
What is a dullard?
Well, let's just keep going.
Dullard is a person who doesn't pay.
Better than that, she does not vow, than vow and not pay. Do not let thy mouth cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the messengers that it was a mistake, or wherefore should Elohim be indignant at the voice, and destroy the work of thy hands.
Go ahead and 7. Well, no, I guess we'll just stop at 6, that's right. Now we go to 2 Corinthians, to pertain to our vow, our relationships. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 184. This is a great verse to learn. So when people say, and they have their crusades, and come before the altar, and do you want Jesus to be your personal Savior? Yeah, I want Him to be my personal Savior. Well, just ask Him into your heart. I'm going to ask Him into my heart. That's it? Yeah, you're in. That's it. Well, let's just see what the Scriptures actually say. He's going to be your master. I don't like that word, Matt. You're going to be a servant and a slave. What am I going to have to do? Good question. All right, because you can't be a servant or a slave if you don't know what you're going to be required to do. So here's what you're consenting that you're going to do. Now, I'm shacking up with my girlfriend. I'm smoking pot or getting drunk, and I'm stealing from my employer. Do I have to quit this stuff? Nah. It'll just go away sometime. Just ask Jesus into your heart, and that's all that counts. It's just...
Sounds like a recruiter.
Yeah, it's just a recruiter. Yeah, it's
just
like
sign up for the military.
But with this, there's no contract, there's no covenant whatsoever. It's a one-sided situation. Now, here's what it should be, 14 and 15. For the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died, hence they all died. And in behalf of all died he. Why? Why did he do this? Here's the question. In order that they who live no longer for themselves should live. Well, that's the covenant. Right? You die for me, I'm going to live for you. Wow, okay. Should live, but for him who in their behalf died and awoke. So, when people say, Lord, Lord, you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say. It's meaningless. Just like the word love is meaningless. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I look even at Hob in the Old Testament. He always talked about a person who loves the ground and a person who loves evil. And so love can be used in a lot of different ways, a real carnal flesh, and we love pizza, and we love this and that, but I mean, when it comes down to, we've got to be very careful, and you guys, when you get older, Elijah, that you don't have boyfriends and girlfriends say, I love you, don't ever say that. The only person you say, I love you to, on the opposite sex, is the person you're going to marry, propose to marry. Very simply. And you make your words actually mean what they're actually saying. So you're going to give a lot of thought because I'm going, and that's the same way with a sexual relationship, is only going to be the person that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. In our world today, heck, if I've known you for 24 hours, that's too long as it is right there. And that's where there's no vow, there's no covenant, and there's no ahab. It comes down to what the word does. And actually I think Hebrews realize this, but the Gentiles came in here and got rid of Yahweh, got rid of Hesed, got rid of covenant, and Ahab means really nothing to them. You know, they got agape, but they can't actually divide. It's the love of God. What does that mean? But okay, I think we'll go ahead and end there, and we're going to hear from our Father. words of edification, exhortation, and comfort according to 1 Corinthians 4. One little point, I just read a paper, and this is very good on it. This is back in the 1830s. For us to be a living church, people must see miracles and the supernatural, because that means Christ is living. If we are completely devoid of power, all we got is the pastor's oratorial skills. And so when people come to their church, it's not to be delivered. It's because what a great actor, what a great voice, what a great sermon. But we're not coming to be delivered. And we're not seeing signs, miracles, and wonders like the apostles did. And so this is why we have prophecy and we have tongues of interpretation and tongues. And be word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And so we're going for power. And that's what the church is beyond. And that shows you that Christ is still alive today. Because you couldn't do it without it.